Let's talk to the AFL Players Association CEO, Paul Marsh. Good afternoon, Paul, and thanks for your time.
G'day, boys. How are you?
Good on you, mate.
Very good. Thanks, Marshy. Now, we need to hit you straight between the eyes last night. Nick Riewoldt was very critical and vocal about the lack of support of the AFLPA around backing off the Sam Fisher news from a couple of weeks ago. What's your take on that? Because there is support there, isn't there?
Yeah, there's heaps of support there. But it also means players have to engage in that support. And so, you know, it's difficult to talk to individual circumstances around individual players. But, you know, you guys are both past players. I guess you'd have your own experiences. And, you know there's lots of stuff that players can tap into.
So someone like Sam Fisher, I mean, I'm sure there's other players out there, Marshy, that might fall on hard times. Some people can't believe it. A lot of supporters think, oh, the players are on huge money. How did this happen? But if players do fall on hard times, what options have they got?
Yeah, I mean, there's lots of support. So, you know, we've got a team of what we call our regional managers who are assigned to each of the teams, who the players can firstly tap into those as resources, or even the club player development managers. We have a hardship fund. We've got education and training grants for players. We have a pretty significant retirement account now. We've set up a superannuation fund for players. We have wellbeing support, 360 psychologists around the country that players can tap into. We've got compensation for injuries. There's so much there that the players can tap into. But with so many past players, there's I guess we've either got to get the players to tap into us or pick up the conversations with the regional managers, as I said.
Paul, it's fair to say that the AFL Players Association, it's not a babysitting service, is it?
Well, yeah, we don't have enough staff to babysit everyone.
But it's not, so, though. No. It's not, Paul, is it, really? Because I've been looked after as a past player, and, you know, I was there from day one when the Crows formed in 1991, and we had to pay our $50 to join. But it's, you know, it's grown like the last 30-odd years. So it's not a babysitting service, to be quite honest with you.
No, it's not. And we don't, that's not necessarily our philosophy either. I think, you know, ultimately we've got to get players ready to navigate their own lives once they finish playing football. And so that's about giving players life skills and ability to go and find a job post-footy and to deal with paying the bills. And you can't have everyone doing everything for you for your whole life, or you're not going to be very successful. Correct. So that's part of what we're trying to do with the clubs, with the resources that we've got. And if players do find themselves in hard times, then they can pick up the phone and call us.
Yeah, Marshy, so when young players come in or enter the AFL system, quite often they've come straight out of school.
Yep.
They've lived with mum and dad. They don't know how to pay power bills. They haven't even used a washing machine before. So what was it? They're incredibly raw from the start, aren't they? And your role is to coach and run them through these sort of things, or life skills.
Yeah, it is. But it's certainly partly our role. And, you know, as you know, Bernie, you've got a player development manager at your club who can help you with a lot of that sort of stuff. But it's not about doing everything for every player. It's about teaching them those life skills. And yeah, they do come in raw. And we have a responsibility as an industry to try to teach them those life skills. But that's the ultimate goal, is to help players help themselves.
Hey, Marshy, can I ask you about the rules? And there's some, you know, a lot of commentary around the state of the game at the moment. Our own Tom Rockliffe wrote an article today about the AFL just sitting on their hands. They're not going to admit that the rules, they've stuffed some of them up. And mentioning that the Players Association would get involved, is that something that you guys would look at?
Yeah, I mean, if the players are bringing issues to us, we'll absolutely look at them. We've had a recent round of club visits, and some of this has come up a little bit. It does come up from time to time. So we do have a representative of our organisation, Brett Murphy, who sits on the AFL competition committee, and the AFLW competition committee for that matter, and we get to represent the players' views in that forum.
Hey, congratulations with the AFLWCBA. That just, 94% increase, which is massive for the women's game. Where's the current men's CBA at, and when do we expect conversations to start there?
Well, firstly, thank you. The men's deal is up this year, so we're in the process of preparing for that at the moment. I think with the women's deal being just a one-year deal, it's quite likely we'll bring the two together. So, you know, we're having conversations with both groups of players at the moment.
Hey, so what you're saying, so getting back to what we spoke about at the start around support. So you guys are there for support, but it's about the players engaging or using that support. That's probably the biggest issue we're dealing with here, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, you can't force people to do things they don't want to do. But part of what we're all trying to do here is show the players how many opportunities an AFL career actually can bring you. And then, you know, help them understand, you know, if they get engaged in these things, how it's going to benefit their lives, their football. And so there's so many resources around the players at the moment to tap into. And, you know, it doesn't mean we can't get better, but it is ultimately going to come down to the players engaging in this.
Paul, were you disappointed with Nick Riewoldt's comments last night, being a St Kilda legend that he is? Or have you spoken to him? Has he got on the phone and had a chat to you today about his comments?
I actually rang him yesterday. I got wind that he was going to talk about it through someone else on the show, and we had a chat about it. Mm. I'm disappointed in the sense that, you know, what I hate to see here is past players look at the PA and go, well, I'm not going to go to them because there's no support, when there is a lot of support if you want to jump into it. Mm. But in saying that, you know, I take his comments on board. We had a good chat. And I'm not showing away that we can keep getting better at what we're offering, but there is plenty there. So, you know, we'll keep adding to it.
Young men with lots of money, Marshy. A lot of people, you know, think outside of footy, drinking, drugs, that sort of thing. What about gambling? How big a problem is that in amongst your players, do you think?
Yeah, look, it's one of the issues that we're dealing with. And I think the way we tend to look at these things is our players are just a subset of what the community is, and gambling are problems, there's drug problems, there's alcohol problems in the community, and we'd be naive to think that wasn't the case, you know, within our playing group. So it all comes back to the programs we're providing. But again, teaching players to make good decisions is right in the middle of this.
One thing that Nick Riewoldt did say last night was to make the transition from the game the greatest issue in football. Do you believe that?
Yeah, I mean, I think you would have been probably playing at the time, Bernie. We actually polled the players on this very point. What's the biggest issue? And mental health was number one, and transition was number two. And, you know, we've done a lot of work on both, and there's still work to be done, but it's not a new issue. And, you know the focus here is get players thinking about this when they start in the system so that you don't get to the end of a career and players, you know, then start thinking about it and it's almost too late. So, you know, there's a lot of work being done whilst players are in their careers.
Marshy, thanks for your time, mate, getting on the phone, having a bit of a chat to us. So keep up the good work and we'll speak again.
Anytime, guys. See ya.
There he is, thanks, AFL Marshy. Players Association CEO,
there's,
Paul Marshy.
There's basically, so much support there.
It's so much support. That's why I hope I wasn't too harsh on saying it's not a babysitting service.
No, well, the
because
players have got to
engage. The phone's there. They're there.
Players have to engage.
Absolutely.
And use that support.
If any past players are out there now struggling, just get on the phone.
Yep.
You know, reach out to your football club because they've got personnel there, haven't they, Bern?
Yeah, no, they do.
It's come a long way. It's come a long way since I first walked into the Adelaide Crows Footy Club in 1991.
What about all the services that he listed off? You'd still be talking
so
now,
it's,
probably.
It's there. It's there to help. All right. So, and we appreciate his honesty too.
No, he did. And the retirement fund, like that pays, you know, that pays for 15 years or something. So, I mean, they've gone a long way, and they've modelled it off, obviously, the United States sports. But they're doing all they can.